good one, isn't it? I'm a new mate, I'm not a fan of this new album. So what is it? Not a fan of it? It's always good when I can explain the joke. It's maybe better than it. Before I go into the message that I've prepared today, I wondered if you would just indulge me for a couple of minutes. I've got a family sort of dispute to resolve. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I need you to laugh really loudly. I'm singing my dad next week and I'm going to show him the sound clip. So I grew up in an army household and my dad's a chaplain, so he's a minister in the army. And he took his responsibility of embarrassing his children really seriously. And he was given ample opportunity because he would come into assemblies. He used to come into assemblies after school, and I used to go to his church and preach and tell embarrassing stories about my brother and myself, and he used to drive me mad. But my auntie blessed me the other day and told me a story about my dad, which he doesn't know that I know. And we were praying recently for my granddad, who was quite ill, so people came and saw him at hospital, and he's now having a miracle, he's at home. But at the hospital, my auntie was there, but all my uncles were there, and my dad was there. Go picture my dad, actually, he's not there, he is.
Yeah.
Isn't he handsome?
Yeah.
He had a weird obsession with those little cardboard pots that men are meant to urinate into at hospitals. Like bedpan, can you picture him? Well, anyway, sorry. You can't see that, hold on. Right, sorry. We had a little weird obsession with these things, and he kept like playing with them and touching them and stuff like that. And then, so one time, he picked one up and he was going to show it as a hearing device. Like this. And my granddad went, no, 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 no! Thank you for indulging on that. Please bring it in. Good. I know we just prayed a second ago. I thought we need to pray a bit after that. But we just pray. One of the things that I struggle with when I speak at church is that my speaking to kind of look like a good Christian in front of you guys, or to seem smart and intelligent, or am I speaking to deliver a message that God wants to share? And that's what needs to be. We'll just pray again, is that right? I'm just going to that. God, we just thank you so much for who you are, Jesus. Thank you that you died on the cross for us, Lord. We're here gathered today to hear about you, Lord, and to meet with you, and to meet with your family, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we can be receptive to what you have to say, Lord. I pray the words that I say are from you, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you just speak today, Lord, and that there can be a change today, Lord, from what you have to say. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. Thank you. About a month or so ago, Andrew Smith came and spoke here. And he spoke about our adventure and the adventure God puts in our life and how it can be a long journey to get there and realise that adventure. And then a week later, Judith spoke on being a pioneer and not being a settler. So God calls us a pioneer, gives us a calling. And we pioneer towards that, and we often settle. We should keep pioneering, keep going for the next thing, keep pushing in. And then a week later, Dave spoke about growing in the gap. And he talked about Joseph and how he was had that period in jail for 2 years where he wasn't doing anything, and how Joseph grew in that time to be the man he needed to be to fulfill the vision that God had for his life. And I had a similar sort of message from God about Joseph. At the time, I hadn't heard Andrew speak or Judah speak, so there was kind of like a series in our hearts by God, I think.
Right, yeah.
So I just want to summarise the story of Joseph for you, for those that don't know. It was once depicted by Donnie Osmond, if anyone's seen that film, with the multicoloured dream coat. Anyone seen that? Joel Donnie. So Joseph was the son of 12 brothers. Joseph was a son, he had 12 brothers. He was the youngest, and he was his father's absolute favourite. And his father bought him this luxurious coat to kind of show how he's his favourite. So all his brothers did not like Joseph. Joseph had a dream that his brothers would one day bow down to him. He then shared this ring with his brothers. His brothers again did not like him for that and were more angry at him. So they signed it. I'm going to go through this quickly, I don't want to spend too long on the details. But they took him and they were going to kill him, but they decided to sell him into slavery. His brothers then ripped his coat, soaked in animals' blood, and told his father that he was killed by animals. He was then sold into slavery, and it says in the Bible, look at the next slide. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything. So, Lord, when Joseph became a slave, the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded, and he worked his way through the captain of the guard's house, who he was the slave of. In this time, like, there was almost a hierarchy for slaves. It wasn't like you were a slave and that was a flat line. There'll be, you know, different levels of slave. So when you're first a slave, you put into the most basic, horrible jobs, like cleaning the toilets and whatnot. And that wasn't part of Midshank's toilets, where you have a half flush and a full flush. That was really like a sort of a basic hole in the ground. It was pretty rotten. So he was a slave, he worked his way up. And it says in the Bible, the Lord was with Joseph, so they succeeded in everything. And he was put in charge of the captain of the guard's possession of everyone running him. It also says in the Bible that Joseph was a handsome and well-built young man. I relate to him, so yeah. And he, and the wife, it wasn't long until the wife, Captain Guard's wife, started lusting after Joseph and sort of made some moves towards him. He kept rejecting her until one day, in a moment of passion, she grabbed him and tore his robe off, and he ran away. And she screamed and accused Joseph of attacking her and trying to rape her effectively. So, of course, they believed the Captain Guard's wife and they put Joseph in jail. So, Joseph was a brother, favourite son, had a coat. Went to slavery, did a really good job as a slave, and then went to prison unjustly. Not a good story so far for Joseph. In prison, it says that the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything, and he found favour with the guards, a responsibility in prison. He was approached by two men in prison. There was a cupbearer for the king, and the king's baker as well, and they both had dreams, and they asked Joseph what he thought of the dreams. And God helped Joseph to interpret those dreams. He said to the baker that your head is going to get cut off upon a spike. That's a different message. You won't go in there. And that the cupbearer was going to be returned to the right hand side of the king and returned to his position. And Joseph asked the cupbearer, when you return there, please remember me. Right. Those dreams came true. But the cupbearer forgot Joseph for 2 years. Joseph was stuck in prison for 2 years. And as David said, that time he grew in that state, so he became closer to God, and God used that time to build him into the person he needed to be. Yeah. In the next chapter of the story. Yeah. It was then that the Pharaoh, the king, had a dream, and his highest council, or his closest men and advisors, couldn't interpret the dream for him. It was at that moment, 2 years later, that the cupbearer remembered Joseph, and he said that a Hebrew man had interpreted the dream for him when he was in prison, and it came true. So Joseph was brought before the king, was shaved and washed and dressed in nice clothes. And then God helped Joseph to interpret that dream. And it was that there would be 7 years of bountiful harvest, followed by 7 years of no food at all and a complete famine. And the king was so impressed by Joseph and so saw the wisdom in him, said that you are the most fit man to run the land during that time. So Joseph went from being a brother, a son, to a slave, to a prisoner, to being the second most powerful man in Egypt and trod the land of time. So he stored the food for 7 years, and the food well, but they stored some of it in preparation for the famine, so there was food ready for that time. And at that point, this famine spread after a few years of famine to his brothers and his family, and they came to Egypt, came before Joseph, and bowed down before him to ask him for food. And thus the dream and the whole cycle was then fulfilled in that moment. And the brothers didn't recognise Joseph at that time, he recognised them. And that was, there's more after that story, but I don't want to go into all that. But Joseph went from being a brother, a son, to a slave, to a prisoner, to one of the most powerful men in the land, and to his brothers finally bowing down before him. And the reason why I wanted to come on to this, or why I've got to put this in my heart, is I was having a chat with Astrid in Carshalton Park, and she was just recently, this was a few months ago, Ashley's my wife, by the way, for those of you who don't know. And she works at this church, and she had been in the job for long, and she's feeling a little bit discouraged at the time, balancing work and church. And I think she loves the job where she is, which is one of those times where it's a little bit discouraged, you know what I mean? It wasn't an easy moment. And God gave me this word of knowledge for her. And I remembered an interview with J.K. Rowling about the book she wrote. And this interviewer was saying, how do you get the inspiration every day to write these amazing books? And she was just like, I don't get inspiration every day. I set time aside, 9 to 5, and I sit down and I write my books. I know the story, and I get inspiration in the book. But if I don't sit down and write the book and discipline to do that, I'll never write my books. But that's how she does it. She just sits down and writes the book. And what God was saying in that is that God's here in Ashley calling, and God gives all of us a calling. And sometimes you've just got to sit down and write the book. You've just got to show up and do it. And when we're writing that book, or we're following that calling, or we're doing what we're meant to be doing, God's going to meet us on that journey. And there's going to be times of miracles, there's going to be times of amazing things, but there's also going to be times like Joseph when he's in prison, where we have to grow within that gap. There's going to be times when we're not there. And that's why I'm looking at Joseph today. Because if there's anyone in the Bible who has written the book, it was Joseph. When I read the Bible, I often find it quite hard to relate to it sometimes. Because it kind of breezes over it 2 years later. He remembers Joseph, and it's like, 2 years later. It doesn't say, it was a dusty Friday morning. Joseph was cold. He put on a robe. He shaved. He got dressed. Didn't say that. It's very, very good. It tells you the facts and what you need to know. We can fill in the gaps there. And the thing is, what really stood out to me when looking at Joseph and looking at this whole thing about writing the book and our calling in life is this passage here. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything. The thing is, Joseph in the Bible sounds like this amazing, great guy, and he is an amazing, great guy, but he is just a man. He would have sinned, he would have been discouraged, he would have cried, he would have been disappointed, he would have been depressed, he would have been angry, he would have been everything. And the reason why I know that is the Bible says that only one person walked and lived on this earth a perfect life, and that was Jesus. And Joseph is not Jesus. Joseph succeeded because the Lord was with Joseph, and he succeeded in it. So I think it's quite important, we can actually really relate to Joseph. His story is abstract because we're not in that time when there was slaves in that way. We can relate to that. His journey, his story that was given, he had this dream about his brothers bowing down to him. He didn't know what that meant. He just shared that. And this whole story went there for him. And the Bible says he was successful. If I just talked about Joseph's story to you, he was a brother, a son, then he was a slave, and he was a prisoner, you're not thinking that's successful, are you? But God used that time to build him into that man he needs to be. So that story that God calls us to do, that story that God gave Joseph, it can be a successful story, but the journey to get there can be totally different from what you think it is. I mean, that time in prison, that's 2 years in prison, 2 whole years in prison. The Bible doesn't talk about it long, it just says 2 years in prison. If we sat here 10 minutes and just stared at this wall, you'll be bored stiffless after a minute. 2 years is a long time. It is a long time. A lot of emotions, a lot of days, a lot of time went into that, where Joseph would have had to follow Jesus purposefully and intentionally and stay faithful to Jesus, so the Lord was with him, so that he would be successful in everything he did. That's what he did well. He was a man. He would have done things wrong. But what he did do well was he followed and had faith in Jesus and followed the Lord in that time. So, when Jesus was speaking the other week as well about being a pioneer and not being a settler, you mentioned things about taking off your different hats as like director of a charity and a chairman of a different charity and these things. I kind of felt God put on my heart at that point that there was people in the room listening to you talk about removing these responsibilities from my life to focus on something else that thought they couldn't achieve those things that you've done. And that kind of really spoke to me, that kind of hit me quite hard, that you're not being good enough. know, and it's really easy that when God gives us a calling, so I'm going to say it, I'm coming back to it, this morning, we were talking about the workshop, and it's out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is bigger than me, this is different from me. And it's so easy when you get that calling in your life, when you're doing something like a new job, or maybe you're moving somewhere new, to think, this is too much for me, I'm not capable of doing this.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a lie. Because
yeah.
You are capable of doing this. Because remember what I said, Joseph was just a man, and the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything.
Yeah.
If God gives you a calling, you better believe that he's going to equip you,
yeah.
He's going to qualify you,
yeah.
He's going to be with you the whole journey,
yeah.
To make sure you're successful in what you do.
Yeah.
So your only real responsibility is to be obedient to God and believe
yeah.
in him.
Right?
And you'll be successful. And success is different, right? Success is not a... If I ask you what success means, you might say like wealth, money, or you might say joy, happiness, you might say family, this. There's no definition of success. So when the Bible talks about Joseph being successful, it doesn't look like success on the outside.
Sure.
The end goal, the end result, this fulfillment
yeah.
of his dream,
yeah.
He's the second most powerful man in Egypt. That's the, and it's incredible responsibility. So if you're in that position right now, just like looking at your future, maybe you've just got exams, you're looking at your career, maybe you've had a calling to move somewhere else, maybe you've got a calling to start an initiative, maybe you've got an exciting but a scary time ahead of you, and you think that you're not good enough, let me challenge you because you are, because the Lord is with you, and he will be successful in everything.
Yeah.
It says in the Bible that God is the King of Kings, he's a Lord over everything in the world,
yeah.
And if he's with you, he will qualify you and make you successful in what he's asked you to do. He doesn't ask you to do it without walking the journey with you. I wasn't sure whether to mention this little bit in this talk today, but I feel like it's the right thing to do, and I'm just going, I know I want to make sure that I'm delivering what I think God wants me to share. So, but Ash and I were had a little coffee date in Wimbledon, went to the Starbucks in Wimbledon. Just say don't go there. Starbucks. Anyway. Starbucks, yeah. And a black coffee, it was not coffee. It was plenty of water, yeah. Then I went to, because afterwards we went to recover from Starbucks, we went and grabbed, you know the street food vendors that would give you like breakfast? We shared a breakfast. And we sat down on this bench, and the founder of the hipster movement was sitting there. And this guy was the just, do you know what hipster is, right?
No.
Do you know what hipster is, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, talk like Tom. Probably with a curly mustache and like, you know. Yeah. But this guy was like the original, that's not an insult, Tom. You're a great actor. But this guy was the original sort of hipster. He had like a curly mustache, he smoked a pipe. He was cool. But we kind of sat down and he went, do you want to smoke a pipe? And we're like, yeah, that's fine, yeah. And then he's like talking to us, and we're like, oh, I'm having a conversation with this guy, this is annoying, we're having breakfast. We actually had like a really insightful chat with him. And his name was Luigi. He was, honestly, I think he found him good. And he was chatting like, he used to be in the army, and then he was in the military police for a while. And he was talking about how there's like a mindset shift in the different areas that he works in. Like, so when he went to like Chelsea and stuff, there'll be a mindset and expectation of people in Chelsea to achieve certain things and do certain things. And when there was areas of less wealth, there was a mindset and expectation for people to achieve and not achieve certain things, and two people not to do certain things. And that really struck home to our home with me. So that if all of us here were born in Chelsea, right, were born in Kensington, had a wealthy family background, all this stuff, our expectation would be commercial success, business leader, etc., a person of power, a person of position, a person of wealth, a person of this, that, and the other. And that expectation of you will become a belief that you think, actually, yeah, I can be a business leader, I can be this person, because it's expected of you. But in areas of less wealth, the expectation can be different. It can be the expectation can be different, that we're not going to achieve certain things, we're not going to do certain things. And that expectation, somewhere down the line, can become a belief of yourself. You can't do certain things, you can't achieve certain things, and that expectation turns to belief becomes prohibitive of you fulfilling the call with your life that Jesus put on your life. Because if you don't think you can do it, if you don't think God can do it, then you're not going to move forward or anywhere, you're just going to stand stationary, not achieving what you think God has called you to do. And I'm not speaking from an abstract place here. Like, if you looked at my life like 8 years ago, the expectation of my life was not to be where I am today. The fact that I'm speaking right now is a testament to God. Yeah. Honestly, like, God just has changed my life. The only reason why I've changed than anything is because God's spoken my life and completely transformed me in ways I could have done myself. So when we're looking at callings, when we're looking at your adventure, when we're looking at pioneering, when we're looking at growing in the gap, we're looking at writing your book and sitting down and writing the book that God has called you to do.
Yeah.
If your mindset, if your belief, your expectation, if you're not good enough to do it, if your expectation and mindset is that you're not capable of doing it, that is a lie that only one person wants to believe, and that's the enemy. Because I tell you what, if God has called you to do something, He will qualify you. Because it was the Lord that was with Joseph, and he succeeded. It doesn't really matter what you're like. It says in the Bible that we're all going to fall short of the glory of God.
That's right.
We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. In some ways, that relieves a lot of pressure off yourself.
Yeah.
You're probably not good enough to become the Egypt king of Egypt. No, Joseph was not good enough to become the second most powerful man in Egypt. But the Lord was big enough to take him there.
Yeah.
So, can I just invite the band to come up? I didn't say my time, how was it for? But the band's gonna play a song and we're gonna sing along with it. I'm not gonna stand here and say, I want you to stand up and put your hand in the air if you've not heard anything. I just want us to worship God in this song. And then if you feel that anything that I've said just now has spoken to you, I encourage you just to come out to the front. If you don't know your calling yet, come out to the front and pray for you to find your calling. If you're scared of your calling, come out to the front. Don't you? You can pray for people when they come forward, because you're following that path, so you can pray for people on that. If you're struggling with your calling, come out and pray for you. And if you've never met God in your life and you want to understand that and have that relationship with God and start that exciting book and start that exciting journey, come forward, we'll pray for you. We'll release an anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life to give you peace, to give you power, to give you release to succeed in the things that God's called you to do. So let's just worship, let's just listen to God, be obedient, come forward if you need to.